Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Azorin First Half 2009 Results Conference Call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Dr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of Azorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good morning or good afternoon, and welcome to the Azorin conference call. As usual, I will make a brief comment on the second quarter results and first half, and then I will turn to Mr. Fernaldi, who is going to take you through the results in more detail. First, I would like to say that this has been another great quarter for the company, with a very strong growth in terms of revenues and profitability. There has been an acceleration of revenue growth, which has peaked at 33% in quarter two, and we now are at 26% over last year when it comes to the first six months. When it comes to different geographies, let's comment first on North America. North America sales continue to grow strongly, driven by vitamin D demand, which continues to grow, as you have seen if you follow the report of some of the major labs in the U.S. We continue to enjoy a very strong position in the market, and as explained in the last conference call, we are now moving from the central lab into the hospital lab, speeding up the Liaison placements in the U.S. I think it's also relevant to notice that the Biotrin business in the U.S. is growing very steadily in the U.S., 11% contribution on the U.S. sales. And by the same token, the infectious disease panel on the Liaison that was approved by the FDA over the last 2 years is showing some very promising growth. The growth in first half of 2009 is 40% over sales of the same product last year. Excluding Liaison placement in the large reference labs, 40% of the new Liaison placements in the U.S. today are carrying a mixed menu of infectious disease and vitamin D. We got registration of 4 new products in the U.S. These are mainly products in the area of endocrine, and these are FDA waived, meaning that it was not necessary to file clinical studies to support these products, but again, they fall under the category of FDA exempt. When it comes to the rest of the world, if we talk about Europe, in Europe, we have certain geographies where the business is growing very strongly, and mainly France that is growing 30% over last year, Nordic, which is growing over 50% over last year. In the more consolidated countries like Germany and Italy, we still have some strong growth, which is nearing 9% in these two countries. Especially in Italy, what is noticeable is that a weak quarter one, which was mainly driven by the economic situation, was in some sort we saw different results in quarter two with a double-digit growth in the quarter vis-à-vis last year. So we are confident that in our domestic market, we will achieve our targets for 2009. When it comes to geographies outside Europe, Israel, where we made an investment last year to expand our distribution network, is growing steadily at 70% compared to last year. We continue to enjoy a very strong position in the main labs in the Israeli market. China, which is another strategic market, is growing 23% over last year, showing that in those markets where Azorin decided to invest in the last years, we are now reaping the benefits of such investment. As a last comment on the product mix, overall, the Biotrin brand is very successful for us, and throughout the world, sales of Biotrin products are up almost 50% vis-à-vis previous year. In terms of liaison install base, we had another strong quarter, close to 140 systems installed worldwide. A little bit less than 30% of the install base is now going to the U.S. Again, following a strategy to move from the big central lab into the hospital labs, where vitamin D and infectious disease volume is significant and can justify a liaison placement. One more comment about the liaison placement in the U.S. Again, excluding placements that we make in central labs, Cardinal Health has been contributing very strongly to the placement. 40 to 50% of liaisons in the U.S. are going through Cardinal. This result of the liaison technology and vitamin D is clearly driving all the other elements of the P&L in terms of the profitability and operating margin. The gross margin is up 40.8% and the EBIT is up 65.2%. Last but not least, when it comes to net earnings, the increase is more than proportional to the top-line growth, even excluding a one-off fiscal event that is deriving from a goodwill step-up that Andrea will describe later on. Earnings in the first half grew 83% compared to last year's. That goes down to 65.9, excluding the one-off effect. And now we'll turn to Andrea for the detailed comments on the financial, and then we will give room for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In the usual fashion, I will take you through the key indicators of the profit and loss for the quarter and for the first 6 months. If you wish to turn on slide number two, where the Q2 2009 versus Q2 2008 profit and losses are represented, you will see that the net revenues in the quarter were 79.5 million euros, compared to almost just less than 60 million last year. That represents a growth rate of 33% at current exchange rate. The effect of the exchange rate in the quarter is favorable to the group because fundamentally because of the revaluation of the US dollar versus the euro, and it accounts for about 5 percentage points of growth. Also, I have to point out the change between second quarter 2009 and second quarter 2008 of the consolidation area due to the Biotrin acquisition, which contributes to the growth for about 6 percentage points. So on a like-for-like basis, however, you still see a growth which is above 20% versus previous year. In terms of margin, the gross margin is up by more than 5 percentage points. I will come later into the details of what is driving the margin up so significantly. All in all, the gross profit at 56 million has a growth of 45% versus previous year. Operational expenses continue to grow less than proportionally to the turnover, which determines a reduction in the percentage of operational expenses to turnover by about a couple of percentage points. This results in a growth of the EBIT in the quarter from 17 million last year to 29.5 this year, with a change in the EBIT margin from 28.4 to 37.1%. Similar performance is related to the EBITDA, which grew by almost 65% versus previous year, with an improvement in the margin from 34.4 to 42.5%. All in all, if we come to the bottom line, the net result has been for the quarter 24 million, which compares to 10.1 million last year. Which represents a growth versus previous year of 136%. Now, as Carlo has already explained, and I will come later into the details, this is strongly affected by a lower-than-natural tax rate, which I will comment later on. I will move to the next slide on the first half year results, so the cumulative results of the first 6 months, we closed with a turnover of 150.9 million, with a growth of almost 30% versus previous year. Again, the performance is affected both by a positive exchange rate effect and by the contribution of Biotrin. In the first 6 months, exchange accounts for about 4 percentage points of growth, and Biotrin, as I said already, related to the quarter for about 6. In the first 6 months, the gross margin has improved, again, by almost 6 percentage points, moving up from 75 million last year in terms of gross profit to above 100 million with an improvement, with an increase of close to 41%. Similarly to the quarter, operational expenses grew less than proportionally to the turnover, with an incidence which went down by almost 2 percentage points. And as a consequence, the EBIT moved up by the EBIT margin moved up by more than 7 percentage points, and similarly the EBITDA. So respectively, we closed with an EBIT of 54 million, i.e. 35.7% of turnover, and EBITDA of 62 million, i.e. 41.2% of the turnover. Net financial expenses in the first 6 months have not been affected by any kind of exchange rate fluctuation on the debt we carry in dollars. And net-net, the net result, which is close for the first 6 months at 37 million, represents a growth versus previous year of 83%. Had we seen this discounting the net effect of the exceptional tax rate, the growth would still remain 66% versus previous year. Now, I will move quickly to the drivers of the individual lines of the P&L. As we move to slide number 4, we can see that the main driver of the growth remains, as we have seen in a number of quarters, chemiluminescence. So the Liaison sales grew versus previous year by 41% in the 6 months. And this has further shifted the weight of chemiluminescence over the overall portfolio of DiaSorin. The weight of Liaison sales was 57% in the first 6 months of 2008, has now moved up to 62% in the first 6 months of this year. Carlo has already extensively commented on the performance by geography. I will only just mention the four areas where we divide our geography. So Italy, after a slow start at the beginning of the year, is now growing around 9% versus previous year. The rest of Europe continued to grow above 10%, around 13%. The U.S., as we have seen, is growing on a like-for-like basis. In terms of currencies, around 63%, 86.8% as reported. And the rest of the world is growing 19%, and the sum of this adds up to the 30% growth of the first 6 months to 209 versus 208. Let's come now to the margin improvement. There are, as we have seen in the previous quarter as well, there are a number of factors which all contribute to drive up the gross margin and the other operational indicators like EBITDA and EBIT. First of all, the continued improvement in the mix between technologies, with the ever-increasing weight of chemiluminescence revenues, which carry higher margin than our technology, continues to improve the mix, significantly enhanced by the contribution of vitamin D sales, which significantly increase their weight even within the mix of chemiluminescence. On top of this, the leverage of the installed base by increasing the revenue per machine has reduced the incidence of depreciation over sales. The geographical expansion, which allows us to claw back margins from distributors, which in the first 6 months regards the opening of subsidiaries in Austria, Czechia and Canada, is further helping the margin. And last but not least, I would mention the exchange rate effect. so the revaluation of the US dollar, which helps driving up the top line as well. If you add on top of this the leverage on the fixed cost structure, so the operational expenses, you achieve the improvement of 7.5 percentage points at EBIT level. The net result increase and improvement we have commented before. Let me just add a few details on the tax that we paid on the goodwill and the effect it has on the tax rate. All in all, a newly approved law in Italy is allowing companies to render the goodwill deductible for tax purposes. So even if it doesn't go, then it's not amortized through the P&L, even for statutory purposes, there is an allowance to do it for fiscal purposes. So in the month of June, we have paid a tax levy on the goodwill redemption of 3.6 million, and at the same time we have recognized to P&L 7.1 million of tax assets to P&L and the balance sheet. The net effect of these two items is what is driving the tax rate so low for the first 6 months. Had this not taken place, the tax rate would have been aligned with the usual 36% that the company records. If we come to the balance sheet, the cash flow, and the net financial position, on slide 7, the net capital employed at the end of June for the company, for the group, is 200 million, which compared to 174 at the end of 08. The capital employed is financed through 184 million in equity, and the remaining part of 15 million is the net debt. The cash in hand at the end of the period is 26 million. I have to point out that the net debt and the cash position is recorded after a dividend payment in June this year of 6.6 million. The payment of the corporate taxes and the tax, the tax for the goodwill step up, which I just mentioned, of 3.6 million. And the acquisition for about 3.5 million, which happened in quarter one, of the distribution rights for Manifold Czechia. The operational cash flow, if you turn to slide 8, the operational cash flow for the 6 months after these events is 25.9 million before 14.9 million of capex. It was 14.4 in the first half of last year before 6.3 million of capex. And last but not least, there is an indication of the next event where the company will be meeting the financial community. We will be present at the Goldman Sachs MedTech conference in London on 2nd and 3rd of September. And in the late part of September, we will attend the UBS Life Science Conference in New York. That's all for me. I will leave the floor now to the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call Conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Sitze Peters, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Fitz Peters from Goldman Sachs here. First question, rather impressive margin improvement. Thank you very much for walking us through kind of the different parts of that. Any reason to expect any of those reversing or diminishing in size in the second half of the year?
Do you have any other question or that's it?
Oh yeah, sure. I'll give you all of them. It looked like you placed around I think 137 units. I think that's right. We didn't get the release until the call started. I think it was about 137 units for the in the second quarter. Just wondering if the run rate is still around 100, or if you're expecting installations to be higher than that now. And also wondering if you have any update on the launch of the Liaison XL. Thank you.
Okay, I will take the second two questions, and then we may comment on the margin. On the when it comes to the Liaison rate. You're right, we put 137 systems. And I think that today the difference between a company expectation and the reality of the first half is pretty much the success in the U.S. of the strategy that is taking away, that is going after the business in the hospital market. And we've seen in Q1 and Q2 very strong demand in the U.S. for Liaison, and we expect that to continue in quarter three and quarter four. So I think that the guideline that we gave of 100 per quarter for the next two quarters should be raised close to 120 per quarter.
Okay.
When it comes to the Liaison XL, we are in on schedule, meaning that, as I stated before, it was for the first time introduced to our customers a couple of months ago. Validation testing is ongoing, and comes the next fall, we will start with what we call reliability testing in certain select key accounts. Let me make again, although the same statement I made before, we are not creating expectations on the Liaison XL on the market because of the current Liaison success. And so we are extremely prudent when it comes to the message that of a system of viability that we deliver to our customers. Because the day we do that, we will pretty much freeze in the main geography the need of the Liaison. So we are handling that very carefully. I keep saying you guys know more about the Liaison XL than any of our customers. Now, if you want to comment on the margins improvement.
Okay. Clearly, out of the four components of margin improvement that I have mentioned, there is one which is the impact of the effects that we cannot predict. So if you discount the effect of the exchange rates of the dollar vis-a-vis the euro and the other major currencies of the group, of which the second one clearly is the reais, all the other components of the margin improvement are not of an exceptional nature. They are fairly structural. So I believe we will continue to see the same performance in terms of margin percentages in the second half of the year that we have seen and witnessed in the first 6 months. Clearly, the improvement versus previous year will reduce as all the components kicked in the second half of 2008 as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Martin Wales from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and congratulations on another great quarter. Could I start by just getting a clarification on the previous question in terms of the run rate for instrument placements? You said 120 per quarter. Is that the guidance for Q3 and Q4, or is that the guidance across the year?
I think the question was we gave a guidance of 100 per quarter. And seeing the results of Q1 and Q2, we would like to increase the guidance from 100 to 120 for quarter three and quarter four.
So that means you will do about 500 units this year?
I think that considering the heat, but if our math still works, yes, I think so. Very close to 500.
Wow. Can I ask what that means for your thoughts about, I know you don't like to give formal guidance, but what does that mean for your thoughts for a sort of underlying growth rate you can deliver in 2009, and indeed, given that those machines will bring consumable streams with them, 2010 and beyond as well? Can you make some general comments to that?
I think that looking at the first half results, we expect revenues to exceed 300 million for year end. So we believe that the results in the first half of the year will be repeated in the second half, even if traditionally August and December are weak months for certain geographies.
Okay, and what does that mean for 2010 and beyond, given that, as I say, instrument placings usually come with consumables contracts?
Well, Martin, as you know, we are very prudent and cautious people. So at this stage, I do not feel comfortable giving guidelines for 2010. Although I think that as you have learned about our business, the install base that you get through the year is going to give you full contribution for the following year. So we expect that the 500 systems that hopefully we will install in 2009 will then fully contribute to the 2010, and therefore I would say 2010, we look optimistic about 2010.
Okay. coming back to your pipeline of new tests, I mean, what should we expect in terms of test rollout for the second half of this year? And maybe looking beyond as far as you can in terms of future test rollout.
I think that there are two tests that are key to come, and that's the parvovirus for the liaison. As I stated before, the parvovirus business, even in the ELISA format, is growing steadily in all geographies, and especially in the U.S. market. So the availability of the liaison, on the parvovirus and the liaison, it would be very important to us to continue to establish our presence in the specialty infectious disease. I think there is another product which will probably see life in Q1 of next year in Europe, which is a 125 hydroxy vitamin D. It's a product where we have a market dominance with the RIA. It's a complementary product to the current 25 hydroxy available on the liaison. A great majority of our existing customers doing vitamin D on the liaison would also run the 125, so it would clearly be a product that would consolidate our positioning in all those labs that are using 25-hydroxy vitamin D.
Okay.
When it comes to the Excel, you know the plan. The plan is to bring on board all the screening products for HIV and HCV and HBV. But that's a different story, and we'll see life in the second part of 2010.
Okay, and one more, if I can. Obviously, you've made great success where you've expanded into a new market such as Brazil and China. I mean, what further scope is there for direct distribution in new markets in the near term?
I think that we are taking a couple of steps forward. One is in China, we are now moving direct in certain geographies. As we speak, we are still serving markets through distributors, and we are going to convert our operations in China into a direct subsidiary starting from early next year. The Chinese market continues to grow very rapidly, and we think it's very relevant to be there. The liaison is very successful. We have 120 liaisons already installed in the market, and so it's a platform that fits that market. When it comes to further expanding geographies, I think that, as stated, Australia, where we have a very strong presence with specialty products today through a distributor, is our next goal. And we believe that by end of 2010, we will be direct in Australia.
Okay. I'll let some other people ask some questions. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin.
Martin.
Next question, Mr. Massimo Vecchio from Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
And good afternoon to everybody. First of all, compliments, which are, I think, obvious. I would like to have some more color on the infectious disease panel in U.S. and how it is ramping up. And my second question is on one of my favorite topics, revenues per box. I know we cannot look at it by quarter, but can you give also some color on how it is developing and how do you expect it to develop in the future? And then the third question is on the Tessigran launch in 2009, so the HIV, ACV, and HBV. Can you agree with the fact that the potential market for those tests is roughly 500 million euros? Thanks.
I will take one and three, and then I will let your favorite question to Mr. Sanaldi to address. Well, when it comes to infectious disease in the U.S., today we have a running rate in the U.S. market which is over 5 million, that considering where we started from, which is pretty much is a significant improvement. And it is really just starting because we have been effective placing a mixed liaisons starting from the quarter one of this year. So we consider this a great success. It proves the fact that when it comes to specialty products in the U.S., in infectious disease, in the U.S., the market is very fragmented and we can act as a consolidator of these specialty products. When it comes to the market size for liaison for the HIV, HPV, and HPV, I think that if you consider the worldwide market, you get very close to a billion euros. Europe alone, Europe 5, so the top five markets, meaning the usual Germany, Italy, France, Spain, and the UK alone is 450 million. So today, if you look at the market share that DiaSorin has in that in this market, is very very limited. Whereas in the infectious disease market in Europe, for example, we are very close to a 25% market share. So we really believe that there is a very strong potential in that segment to grow significantly and generate incremental sales with the Liaison Excel platform. And now back to your favorite question, Andrea will take care of it.
Yes. Dr. Vecchio, good afternoon. In terms of revenues per machine, if you think that in the first 6 months we had sold more than 90 million on the Liaison platform, 90 million euros, and if you annualize those sales over the average of the installed base, you come to a revenue per machine which is 70,000 euros. I remind you that last year was about 61.
Right.
Now, as I usually do, I warn not to take the quarterly number or the half-yearly number on an annualized basis. This number is, as you can imagine, skewed by a significant number of placements in the U.S., which have higher revenues per box than the rest, and particularly by the vitamin D booming.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Fraser Hall from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, it's Fraser Hall from Berenberg. Just a question, trying to get some further clarity on your growth in vitamin D testing. Quest Diagnostics had some issues with its test earlier this year, and I'm just trying to get a sense of whether you think the demand that you've seen across the first half is, as it were, real demand, reflecting real growth in the underlying market, or to what extent there may have been additional growth from the issues faced by one or more of your competitors in the vitamin D testing market.
Listen, I will give a very pragmatic answer. I don't think we got a single test out of Quest.
Okay.
And for a very simple reason. As you know, when it comes to patients in the U.S., the patient himself is not dictating, or the physician is not dictating where the testing goes. Testing goes where the insurance is telling the doctor to send the vitamin D testing to be performed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when it comes to Quest retain all testing, I think though that when it comes to the mass spec technology, which is a technology used by Quest, that performance of Quest has created some questions, which were discussed publicly into scientific journals about standardization of a vitamin D testing. And due to the fact that our assay is considered the reference standard for vitamin D, and considering the ease of use of our technology compared to mass spec, lots of hospitals that were evaluating which technology they should bring in-house elected to go to the Liaison. So the real benefit that we saw from that debacle was not that we took away business from Quest, but we had a better way in selling the Liaison versus the mass spec to the hospital business. Mm-hmm. And we see that result from the very strong growth in installed base in the U.S.
Okay,
when
thank you.
When it comes to the potential of the market, I think that if you followed what Quest and LabCorp have reported, the market, the demand of vitamin D testing continues to grow very strongly in the U.S. And the market penetration of vitamin D testing, meaning the number of tests performed on the total U.S. population, it is still half of what it is done today in other geographies like Australia, like some northern European countries, or like Israel. So I believe on one side that vitamin D demand will continue to grow. By the same token, I believe there is a strong need for clarity when it comes to physician on vitamin D testing and which level is education in terms of what insufficiency or sufficiency means.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Next question, Mr. John Wood from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. This is Brandon Cluyard, actually, in for John this morning. Can you give us, could you recap the mix of Liaison instruments that went to hospital labs in the U.S. in the period?
I consider that, honestly, as a confidential information. Although, when it comes, just to give you an indication on the percentage, if you take the new Liaison installed in the first half of the year, 25% went of the installed base went to the big labs. Big labs meaning labs like LabCorp, ARUP, all those big labs that are using our technology, and that was to face volume increase. The 75% of the Liaison, of the new Liaison installation, were done in hospitals.
Thanks. Could you give us the interest expense and interest income for the period?
I can. Do you have any other question before I fish out the details?
Maybe perhaps an update on CapEx and operating cash flow guidance for the year, and then that'd be it.
Okay. So the total for the first 6 months of interest is $1.3 million. This is interest paid on the debt that we carry plus the commission we paid for the factoring operation. We have notional interest on the pension fund for about $400,000 and interest income for about another $400,000. In terms of CapEx, you have seen a higher than normal CapEx, which is driven by a couple of things. As far as intangible are concerned, this is an event which is limited to the first half of the year and accounts for about 3.5 million out of the 5.6 million of intangible CapEx. Whereas the higher expenditure on instruments is related to two things. First of all, the fact that we are increasing or have increased the rate of placements in the first 6 months. And secondly, the fact that following the strategy of geographical expansion, we now place more instruments directly either rather than through our distributors. So out of a normal rate of expenditure, which is all in all around 16 million, I would probably see this year expenditure for the full year higher than about 20 million.
That's great. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Martin Wolf from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Just a little more on vitamin D. Could you give us an update on the competitive situation more generally in the US, as in, are you seeing any new competitors emerge potentially in that market? Secondly, in the UK press, there was some coverage of a small UK company offering a relatively low throughput vitamin D tests. Could you maybe talk a little bit about them and whether they really compete with you or not?
Okay, when it comes to US competitors, as I stated before, Martin, we have a very strong competitor, which is LC Mass Spec today. So it is true that the other diagnostic companies are not there, but by the same token, we are sharing vitamin D testing with a homebrew methodology, which is expensive and requires a lot of attention by the user, but still, customers elect to use LC Mass Spec as well. And this is just to diffuse the concept that in the U.S. today we are not challenged. We are heavily challenged by Mass Spec, and notwithstanding that, we are really enjoying lots of success in this market. When it comes to IDS, IDS I think is a relatively small company with a limited reach. They have this new system, which by the way is not new, has been there for many years as a technology developed by a company. Do I see IDS as a threat? I think IDS is really looking into a different segment, which are much smaller accounts. And they do not have the breadth of menu to compete with the Liaison. So to be honest with you, I'm much more concerned when it comes to Mass Spec, and also I'm more concerned about physician education rather than the threat that IDS can pose to us.
Okay, thank you.
We have another follow-up question from John Booth's line, Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just two more questions. On the tax rate, should we assume this lower rate for the back half of the year? And would that be a good run rate to consider going forward?
No, the run rate you have to, as I said, this is absolutely a one-off of the second quarter. For the remaining part of the year, you shall see the tax rate going back to where it was previously. So we're talking about 35 to 36%, more like closer to 36.
Okay, and then lastly, would you care to comment on the M&A environment? Do you see any opportunities to add any additional content, menu content in 2009, particularly given your stronger cash balance?
I think it's very difficult to make a comment that makes some sense here. Yes, we clearly have cash, and we need to put this cash to work. Yes, we are constantly looking at opportunity. an opportunity to bring more content to our platform, it would make sense for us to direct our attention toward some of the infectious disease products and HIV and hepatitis C products where we intend to enter the market with Liaison XL. All said and done, I don't think we have anything to report, if not the fact that we are very careful buyers, as we have shown in the past when we acquired foreign companies.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Grazie, arrivederci.